this life, gotta make your own deals, chase your own thrills, pay your own bills. On the outer loop, sitting on chrome wheels, phone synced up to the newest chrome bills. On air, who cares if it's right or wrong? I just care which guests they invited on. Without a minute to stall, and there was liquor involved with some hype songs. And the night is young, right on cue, the talking begins. And we check out what Steve Bill's got on the blends. A bit grimy, a backdrop from the late 80s to the mid 90s, till it finally takes us to a rhythm that works. And K-Chrome spits a verse that he didn't rehearse. Both flex skills, proving it's all in. So gather round for the newest installment, Chrome Bills. Episode number 52.
Before we do anything, I want to jump in with Money Machine at the Bank. I just made me a deposit. Fuck that bitch right on the sink. Is that her pussy or the faucet?
Wow. Jumping right in to Chrome Bills number 52.
Complex Magazine has blessed us with the worst rap lyrics so far in the year 2014. They will be sprinkled throughout the show. Chrome Bills episode 52. I want to start by giving a shout out to my main man, inside linebacker, Super Bowl champion, New York football Giants, not football, football, Pepper Johnson.
Pepper Johnson. Little known fact, his younger brother was the punter on those early Giants teams. Salt Robinson, ladies and gentlemen.
His friends called him Salty.
Salty. It's good to be back in the Haleo Studios. We got F52. We got a lot of stuff happening. I kind of want to start with Chuck going to De La Soul last night.
I wanted to say shout out to the B52s.
Okay.
Roof. Rusted.
Rusted.
Okay.
That's a good song to do with karaoke. I just realized.
When you weren't doing karaoke?
You know what?
Is that what goes on in your head while Chuck and I are talking? Yep. Is just you fantasizing about killing it at a karaoke bar?
That or like a or like a bear riding a tricycle in a circle.
Eating a donut.
And Steve reinvents any rap karaoke song with the voice from the Lost Freestyles. Remember, if you post an episode, you can get the Lost Chrome Bills episode 45B.
All you need and to I will
send
say
us
this.
A picture.
Yeah,
I think it's 54 minutes.
You're hella loud.
It's really good.
Yeah.
That's because I'm excited.
You were extra excited.
The freestyles, we were wasted, but it wasn't something that I went back and listened to. I was like, oh, that was kind of a had to be there moment.
Yeah.
The freestyles from all three of us are really dope, but it's super funny. It's everything that Chrome Bills is, plus us freestyling the whole time.
I would agree.
It's a great episode.
Yeah.
I've always been a massive fan of C's Mike's freestyles, and that, as far as being an hour-long thing that's out there, might be one of my... That's going in the personal collection.
Yeah.
Like, that's going in the pullout 10 years later. Cole, there are points in there where I'm like, dude, we're 45 minutes in. How did you just do that for 6 minutes?
I like them young, dumb, and pale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I'm drinking some summer ale, and I've always felt the same way about Chuck. You know, it's like the dude that you hoop with is like, every time I drive and kick, that dude not sound the J. You know, like, or he knows where to get me the ball on the post.
Yeah.
Chuck, the same thing, man. I feel like for anybody out there, it's an epic example of what Chuck and I are able to do freestyle-wise. Steve goes in on it, kind of outshines us a couple times.
Yes, y'all. That's so unique, y'all. A freak, y'all.
I'm kind of a spaz. I apologize.
You know, it's interesting, too, because I was talking to friend of the show, Dude Computer.
Who are you?
And he was saying, you know, I really enjoy listening to the podcast because it's like being a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
Amongst three friends talking. I'm wondering if we could work out a tagline.
Okay, hold on. I got a joke there. Say that. Do that again.
It's like listening. It's like being a...
Run it back.
It's like being a fly on the wall.
In a public restroom.
Wow, that's actually pretty good.
Okay, all right, sorry.
But I think that the lost episode, episode 45, if you repost something from us that we post on SoundCloud, on Twitter, or Facebook, we'll send you a copy of the freestyle. It's that to a T.
Definitely.
It's us just really cutting loose.
I like that. Every repost gets a link.
I want to send a shout out to Onyx. To Onyx, because
you're probably crazy.
It was Sticky Fingers who said, give me the microphone before I bust in my pants. and I kind of took the 2014 version of that and said, we'll freestyle so much that you'll pee a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a line about peeing a little.
Yeah.
I think I admitted to peeing a little.
Admission. You're like, oh, I think I just peed a little bit.
He did say that. It was like the rawest emotional moment I've ever heard Chuck have. He was like, I'll be honest, man. Like, I think I might have just peed.
I've heard old women say stuff that like that. Like, I think I just peed a little bit.
Well, I go for walks. Chuck pisses his pants.
Right. I have cats.
You have
cats. And Cole Kilmeade, he starts his next freestyle talking about like adult diapers.
Yeah. Amazing. You need weed for the long ciphers. Here's where I get ill with the freestyles. Like, when you go to the prom, wear adult diapers. The weird part of that line wasn't the adult diapers. Why are you going to the prom?
Yeah, why would you go to the prom?
You know, like,
Cole just takes
it. We're past that.
Yeah.
It's like making a meal when you're drunk in the middle of the night. That's like a cold freestyle. There's just ingredients from out of nowhere. You're like, so, I mean, cottage cheese and honey and bacon bits, right? That's what we're doing.
Whoa, I think we just got the title of the episode.
In between lasagna noodles.
Lasagna, was it lasagna, cottage cheese, and bacon bits?
There was honey in there, too.
And honey. That sounds good, actually. I'm trying,
Off to a blazing start. Off to the races.
Shout outs to B. Dolan for the interview.
Hey, shouts to B. Dolan for the Strange Famous fans and just fans of good people in general that have gotten on board after hearing part one of the B. Dolan interview last week. You're going to hear part two, and I think we can tease this because we actually just did it.
Tease away.
Tease away. Seize away.
Who are you?
Sage Francis of Strange Famous Records was kind enough to take for that. True that. Was kind enough to take some time out of his busy schedule to give us an interview. It went about 40 minutes. It's really insightful, a lot of humor. Some tears, you know, here and there were shed. Yeah. You know, some beards got trimmed, but ultimately we're gonna be posting that probably next week, maybe the week after. We just want to sort of ramp up. If you could repost on whatever social media you use that we have Sage Francis on an upcoming episode,
definitely. That'd
be great. You know what I mean?
And Sage, if you're listening, you know, we did the interview part, and I know that you're a fan of hip-hop, so I think we actually want to get you on just to participate and just talk about some rap shit. Because we didn't get to ask him about battle rap, and I feel like I wanted to know how he feels about this new format. You know what I mean?
I mean, you talk about somebody that was as successful in the battle scene as anybody. He was a good example.
Yep.
You know? So, and it was interesting because I really sounded like a complete idiot because as we were doing the interview, and I have to give this disclaimer anytime we play it or clips of it. What we did was we gave him a number to call in as that phone conversation's going forward. It's being recorded as and then downloaded as an MP3. What I eventually realized was if I didn't say anything for maybe it was 2 minutes, it would sound like the call cut out. But as we found out later, it kept recording him, but just like random moments, I'm like, right, right. Because what I realized was as soon as I spoke, then it came back on my end.
It was that intelligent.
It was, you know, I mean, it's you wonder why I bashed technology? Mm-hmm. That's why. Like, what sense does that make?
I don't know. Maybe they're conserving bandwidth or something. I don't know. Is it that at that much of a premium?
I think, well, here's the thing basically that I'm complaining about. Like, I think they should have a disclaimer. It's like, look, we'll record this phone conversation where you're talking, but you have to talk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because literally, I could have just sat there for a half hour.
It's actually a little bit of a homage to early Chrome Bills episodes because
it is.
I think it was on the first or second episode where Steve was really mad to figure out that while I was talking, he did this a lot. He'd be like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And actually it's in the theme song. If you look somewhere around like bars 8, where it's like check out what Steve Bills got on the, and you're like mm-hmm. And I think it was actually a sound. It was a clip from one of the episodes.
No, actually, I.
Oh, did you manipulate?
I recorded
it?
A separate one and went mm-hmm.
It's in the beat, right?
Yeah.
Check out what Steve Bills got on the blends, and then you say it on beat. Mm-hmm.
I got skills.
You land on the snare. I
mixed it so I can slide that joint wherever I needed to.
Was that? Was that a freestyle though?
Hey yo!
Did you freestyle that?
Yes.
All right.
That's why.
Yes,
I went.
Yes, y'all.
Afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I must have been drunk as a motherfucker doing that freestyle.
Hey, well, again, I think that got you a little bit open. You broke out. You sounded like you were like at a wedding.
Yeah, that
you
was
know,
good.
Toasting people. It's a good time.
That was good.
Mm-hmm. That definitely was good. Very sharp with it. When was the thing about? getting ticklish when you make rice. Is that on the
That was last week. Yeah. That was last week's freestyle.
Yeah. God, I forgot about
that. That was good, yeah.
But that's what I mean. You know, like looking back, or I think even when you said it, this stuff is just like, yo, as long as I'm going with the flow, whatever's clever, man.
As long as you finish that line, people
cracking jokes. Yeah. Well, we could talk about this, talking about battle, and Chuck and I have talked about this a bunch of times. The famous Supernatural versus Juice battle.
Okay.
Juice is dope, and he's killing it. But at the end of one of his verses, I think he says, like, he paid Scottie Pippen. Have we ever figured out what he actually says there?
I don't believe we have.
I always thought that was kind of weird. If any of you guys want to check that out.
Juice Supernatural battle.
You never heard of it?
No, I've seen it, yeah, but I don't remember any of the lines from it. That was the one where they were... Oh, no, that's Craig G. Forget it. Okay. I'm thinking Craig G.
Okay, but fair enough. I mean, I feel like that brings up another...
My favorite line from that battle, I'm just going to come off the top, is in the first... First of all, I use it as kind of a hip-hop litmus test, where, like, if you think Supernat won that battle, I don't know if I really respect your opinion on anything hip-hop in general. Yeah. You know? But there's just one line, and it, like, casually drops, you know, 8 or 9 bars, whatever it is, 8 to 12 bars, and he's like, you better than me, you really make me wonder, buddy, because you ain't even dope enough to be my understudy, which is just such a fucking cool line.
Yeah.
Just it's like, that's the epitome of, now it's got to be like, but the fo-fo break your fucking heart valve apart, and there's no beat and anything. Instead, he's just killing it. Like, it's just very casual. It's like, you really make me wonder, buddy.
And I remember that line because he sort of gesticulates towards him. Like, I think he even physically takes a couple steps toward him when he delivers it. That, to me, is how you could tell it was freestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Completely in the moment. And I actually, speaking of the battles, and that's why I wanted to bring all this up, was I watched the Joe Budden, Hollow to Don battle.
Yeah.
It was interesting. It's funny because I remember Hollow to Don being like a real skinny, like, street kid. And then he was like a pro wrestler in this. Did you notice that?
He looked like he was kind of juiced up.
You know what I mean? Well, I thought it was... The battle, I thought, was kind of... From not having seen it, I got like a couple different perspectives.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Joe Budden's just going to flop. I thought he did really well until the end where...
Yeah.
Ultimately, the reason he lost was he was kind of a fish out of water in that environment. Like, when he was like, stop my time. It's like, that's not how this shit works. Like, you're not in a studio where they press pause.
Right. Did you notice that his timing was not...
It was not. Once you said it, I was expecting him to sound like Saphir all drunk.
Okay.
But I was expecting it to be bad.
It wasn't over the top, but it was definitely different than Hollow, who was prepared for that. You know?
Right. And I thought as he was going up, and Chuck and I have said this too, as you freestyle, you're going to keep getting better and better. With writtens, probably they're going to go down because you're running out of shit or you can't remember it. And I thought Hollow won just in terms of... being more of a veteran of the environment. He finished strong.
Yeah.
What'd you think, Chuck?
I actually haven't gotten a chance to check it. I did see the only thing I could find online was the first Hollow the Don verse,
was,
and that's what I was talking
which
about.
Which I thought I thought that was the best verse, too.
Yeah.
Or not, that was the one where he was, like, calling out Jimmy Iovine and how, like, they chopped his pay and all that stuff, which true or not, was still just a really fucking ill way to come in.
It's a ballsy, like, way to do it.
Come in hard, right? Like, first 8 bars, just attack the whole thing.
I mean, the other thing, too, is that ultimately, I don't know that the crowd there really gave him the credit for those lines he deserves. It's even more of a ballsy move, because really, what does he have to gain other than people pointing out later on that it was ballsy?
Yeah.
The people throwing it aren't going to be fucking happy with that.
Right.
If it goes over the crowd's head, you know what I mean? But that's why I give him that much more respect for doing it. It's like, fuck it, man.
Yep. But that was one of those, like, 15 years later, you know you'll be proud of it type of lines, as opposed to just taking a shot at, like, oh, you know, this guy's sitting to the left of the stage.
Right.
Ballsy rap lines.
Mm.
Ballsy. Hey, yo.
Mm-hmm. Chuck, right, you went to De La Soul last night, man. How was that?
De La Soul. 25th anniversary of 3 Feet High and Rising. And God, I just want to start old. I want to start by saying this. On the last Chrome Bills, as we were going out, I brought up that Jay Electronica brought Jay-Z on stage during a show, and they did 3 joints at the Brooklyn Hip Hop Fest.
Yeah.
There is a quality of seeing a rap show in New York City that I don't think is echoed anywhere else in the world, and it's the pop-in factor. They're about a half hour into the show, you know, they're doing The Business, which is like a banging-ass track off of Stakes is high. And you know, who's got the second verse? Boom, he just pops out. Like all of a sudden, Common's there. I was like, yo, fucking Common is here. Wow. And like it was ill as shit. Common's there. He stayed on and just did the hook part.
Do you want to be a MC? Uh-huh. Yep. Do you want to serve? Do you want to be dope? Or do you want to deal it?
So at that point, then it kind of got the ball rolling in all of our heads. Like I went with Henrock and my boy Paul. And we were like, all right, who's it going to be? And we started going through. And I was like, okay, you know, Mos Def has a song with them. He's kind of an easy person to pick. Like Talib, maybe. And those are like the two names I threw out. And then we were like, Tribe. So it was no surprise. There was no Mos. There was no Talib. It was no surprise when then Q-Tip popped on stage about 15 minutes later in the set. And they did Buddy. And they did
Baseball.
Jim.
They did
Baseball, maybe. And Jimmy. Is Jimmy a different track, too? I don't even know.
Jimmy was Jimbrowski?
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, Jimbrowski.
That's a Jungle Brothers song.
There's going to be a lot of good names tagged on this. Just keep naming rappers. We should just sit and say rappers' names for 60 minutes. We'll blow the fuck up.
And then, so I was standing in the upstairs because we had like VIP passes, which was, you could put that shit in quotes because all it was like a less crowded area that was further away from the stage. So about halfway through, we decided we might as well just go down with the Common folk. And I could actually see the side of the stage. And, dude, it was just legends. Like, just it was just straight up. Yeah, like, it was just straight up legends. And you're like, all right, who's going to be next? And I didn't notice till he grabbed the mic that Drez from Black Sheep was there, too.
Who are you?
If you hit this or that, you know, you can get with this, you can get with that.
Yeah.
Live. I mean, there were probably 1,200 people at this show, and every single person in the venue said, engine number 9 on the... Wow. And like I thought the entire building was going to explode when it was like, pick it up, back on the scene, crispy and clean. So, I mean, all in all, it was definitely, you know, just as far as the vibe in the room, it was one of the better rap shows I've been to, for sure.
Yeah, I'm glad you went, man.
I'm interested to hear how, if you have the same openers and if you have any of the guest appearances at the DC show, because that's not too far.
No. They'd be like, and this is our new song called Sleeping Bag, where we just sit up here and sleep. I guess this is good.
Do you have marshmallows, like a campfire, DVD player at least?
No, I mean, I saw De La way back when, and then we saw him at Rock the Bells, and when I saw him at Rock the Bells, I fucking killed it, and I was... 1,000, you know, yards away or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Sounds fun, man.
Yep. I wonder if they're going to bring out Surf and Turf. You know what I'm saying?
Of different styles?
Or maybe Algorithm.
Where are you getting all these names? How are you remembering this?
We got a homeboy, Jimmy B.
Okay.
Who sent us a list of every member of different styles.
No, wait a minute.
Shits and Giggles?
Shits and Giggles is down in there.
You didn't just say that you have an entire list of the members of different styles, did you?
I've got 88 members here.
Oh, we have a reaction from across the pond on that.
89.
It's my turn to pee a little. All right. I'll be honest.
Now listen, what I love about this list, well, first of all, thank you, Jimmy B.
Shout out.
First six have references to what episode they're from, and then 7 through 89 don't have a reference. So like he was like, all right, like he was doing like
yeah, fuck this.
And he was like, yeah, fuck this. What am I doing this shit anymore?
I don't blame you, Jimmy.
I actually do. I do have one reaction, and it's more of a thank you to Jimmy B that we gotta get out before we dive in to at least about 20 of these.
Like a Jedi Knight. No, better than that, a Templar Knight. This is a flash of pure inspiration.
There you go.
Very nice.
Let's hear some different styles. The up-and-coming rap group that now has up to 88 members on Chrome 89. Bills Records. 89
here's,
members.
Here's a scratch I kind of want itch, though.
Teabag Boys.
Wait, was that when I actually kind of remember where that's from. Remember there was a Them That's Not where I made up, it was which of the following rap group names is not a real name.
Okay.
The Teabag Boys.
Was that the, well here's the itch I want scratched. What was the first one? Like where, I can't remember where it came from. I know it was just like we made it up on the fly.
According to this list, Algorithm is the first one.
Okay.
the T-Pac voice. I'm going to stick on that one.
That's fantastic.
Stumpy D and Jumpy E.
Yo, I have a question, right? So we should also, when we say them, we should see if we can just kind of remember who said it.
I definitely remember
like,
that.
I feel like Algorithm was me. I feel like Stumpy D was Cole.
Well, yeah. Here's the other thing.
It was the thing with the mic.
So,
yo, it's your boy, Stumpy.
Right.
Stumpy,
that's where I got so open because I was like, I remember doing my impersonation of Stumpy D because he's too short to get to the mic.
Yeah.
But I don't remember Jumpy E.
But I don't remember Jumpy E, but I like
that's
him.
That's so funny, huh? Jumpy E.
But like, Jumpy
he
did.
He doesn't like get hype. He's just like always jumpy. He's like, "Yo, what are you doing? Why are you so close to me? Yo, do you have? Let me get some coffee, dude. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Go to bed. Like, I need coffee. Just what are you doing near me?"
Some of these don't make any sense. Like pull a T.
Shocking. Pull a T.
Push a T. That's like push a T.
Oh, I got it now. He's the opposite of push a T.
Pull a T.
The funniest thing is I think that Steve actually made that one up, and now months later, years later, doesn't even think it's funny.
He's actually Pusha T's dentist.
Frankie D and the West Side Posse.
That's me. What's the group that I...
Oh, Freddie B and the Mic Masters.
Yes.
I like that. I like Frankie D and the West Side Posse. Homemade noodles.
Yo, are you serious? Yeah. Homemade noodles?
That was definitely you, I think.
That sounds like something I would say. And find funny, but not remember why.
MC who knows too much about beats.
No, that's a shout out to the dude that plays Taco on the league. That's a real character.
Oh, okay. All right, that's a real guy. Yeah. Mr. Lisp.
Yo.
MC such and such. The dust juice.
The what?
The dust juice.
The dust juice. That's a shout out to Shaheem the Rugged Child. Google, all you folks at home, open up a second window and Google Shaheem. And
open Shaheem the dust juice. And tell us about the woman that you see on the screen.
There's some old saggy white titties. Very, very late.
She's so scary, dude. That's the scariest.
There's some over easy egg nipples out there.
Who makes a song about smoking dust? Like a pro dust song. It was like that Rec song about smoking cigarettes. Like
the pro cigarette song.
Like I ain't too proud to smoke or something, like the TLC 2012. Like, but I ain't too proud cigarettes? To smoke.
I ain't too proud to smoke, y'all.
75 beats per second.
That's the name of a dude?
That was the name of a rapper, 75 beats per second.
Just super fast. He's rapping so fast you don't even hear him.
Two Names.
Okay.
Two Names is my favorite.
Oh, his name's just Two
Names.
Two Names
is the name?
Yeah, Two Names.
Yo, that's kind of dope because I was like, what's the name? You're like, Two Names. I was like, well, you haven't even told me the first one.
Well, I think that's a funny reference to 2 Chainz, who was also known as
Two Names.
Titty Boy.
2
Chainz. Titty Boy.
Burpee mics and heavy breath.
Oh, my God. Heavy breath. It's heavy breath, y'all. Just his armpits are always sweaty.
Oh, of course. It's your boy, Conjugation.
Well, that was the other thing, too, because that was the first one where it was like, it can't just be it's your boy.
Right.
Like, you always have to say the full word, Conjugation.
Right.
And you can't call him Conjugation. You'd be like, who is that? Oh, you mean it's your boy, Conjugation?
Incognito Martin, obviously. Incognito Martin.
That was the first Twitter, right?
Yeah. Jersey Semantics, which I don't quite understand. Jersey Semantics.
Exactly. That's the point. You don't understand. I'm sure that was one of Chuck's, and I'm sure I laughed my ass off.
All right. Well, that's 20, so I think we just cut it right there.
I need 5 more.
All right. Obi once. DJ 3 shirts.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Double or nothing.
Yeah, okay.
That one's all right.
Yeah.
Love it.
And then it's your boy Ramifications.
from that it's your boy mob. It's your boy Congregation.
Oh my God.
It's your boy Ramification.
Ramifications.
All right, that's it. That's it for this one.
God, that's a little slice of heaven. We got to sprinkle those in from here. I feel like it's Thanksgiving and we just had like 3 pieces of turkey,
a
bunch of sides.
That was a lot.
From that, you know, like let's ease into them next time, but God. That was the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Is Cast 2 on that list?
That's the most recent one.
That's the most recent. Yeah, I was trying to think of the most recent.
I kind of want to throw out a new member.
Who is it?
Like, you know how like gay rights has become a thing and like pride is a thing?
Sure.
Has become a thing.
That was awesome. He's like, this has become a thing, right?
It's like a new thing, right?
I don't know why the people are so angry about the Redskins name.
I shouldn't even say it. Okay. I'm not going to say it now. Because if I was that insensitive, imagine the fucking name I'm coming up with.
Like just Buttfucker or something? Or what? Like
K-Solo's DJ Gay Homo?
Boo.
Boo. Bad, not a good one. It wasn't even funny.
I thought it was his DJ Jay Dolo.
Jay Dolo?
That's a good one.
What would be two instead of solo? YOLO. It's K-YOLO. No, you only live once. Y'all like, man, it's already a thing. You can't use that.
K-Dose.
K-Doso.
That was awesome when the YOLO thing started and they showed all the other places that had branded that. Like there was a YOLO bar somewhere in California.
Yeah.
And it was always like these random things too. It was it was like a sponsorship for like a 10K about like old people donating money for breast cancer research. Like
the YOLO 10K.
The YOLO 10K. Come on down to the Patterson Park Recreation Center for kids with autism and do the YOLO 10K.
DJ Gay Homo spinning tonight.
He's be cutting it up. All right.
DJ cut it up.
Are we I feel like, you know, we hit the ground running tonight.
And now we fall flat.
Well, no, we got the interview. I feel like we've talked about it a couple times how my job is sort of a joke in the grand scheme of things, but particularly compared to you two.
Sure.
And I feel like you guys work in an environment where, like, when a project gets completed, or Chuck's always like, yeah, I'm going out to a work happy hour, like, you celebrate accomplishing something.
Yeah.
As soon as the interview with Sage was done, I was like, I feel like getting fucking wrecked.
I
feel great.
It was a good interview.
Yeah.
It is a good interview.
Yeah. Are you guys drinking tonight? What are you guys drinking?
Yeah, I'm drinking.
There?
I'm going in. A summer shandy.
Is that a wine?
MC Summer Shandy. Yo, how do you can't really be like, it's like kind of half a man to order a shandy somewhere, you know?
Half men order shandies.
Yeah.
Pound. Half man. What if
I'll take a shandy.
How'd
half
you know
man,
he was a
half man, half shandy? Hashtag.
Half Mandy. How did you know he was a half man?
He ordered a shandy.
Was he short? Nah, average looking dude, but the dude had no heart.
I'm not even gonna lie, when people kept talking about these beers, I thought they just didn't know how to pronounce Sandy. I thought they were saying a summer Sandy, but they were going Shandy, and I was like,
"Was MC Lisp working at the alcohol store?"
Shandy,
Mr.
Like,
Lisp.
What are they saying, summer Sandy? Like, but I got it now.
They're like, "Oh, you want a summer Shandy and an order of dump rings, and I'll put it on my schedule."
So how bad did it sound when I said, "Did you get these at the alcohol store?" Yeah.
Yep.
Actually, there's someone in Pennsylvania that doesn't even seem weird.
So I'm opening a vape spot. I don't know if I told you guys about this. Vaping has become really hot. So I decided.
Is that like gay rights? Sort of new. Like,
it's kind of new, but you know.
That was a joke, assholes.
Yeah.
So come to my. You're not being serious.
Come to my vape spot.
Are you being serious?
Have you noticed these things popping up everywhere? Vape spots.
You mean your basement?
No, dude, there's one like, there's like
I
two.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's two like right down the street.
What, it's like a bar?
It's like a bar where you go vape fucking tobacco.
You mean like a restaurant or like anywhere? Because it's not illegal to vape in, is it illegal to vape in places?
It is in New York, but I think it's legal everywhere else.
Why is it illegal in New York?
The same reason why you can't get a soda that's over like 20 ounces and the same reason why a pack
people
of cigarettes
overdo
is $15. No, they said the reason was that it's too hard to tell whether it's a real cigarette or not, so we should just ban anything that has smoke.
I agree with them.
You can't even smoke an electronic cigarette in Central Park.
Why do you agree with them, Steve?
I feel like people are gonna fuck around and be doing dumb shit, so just make them do it at home.
Okay.
You don't need to do that in public.
By the way, I don't know how you guys...
They could be smoking weed, right?
How do you feel about it, Chuck?
I don't know how you guys don't smoke electronic cigarettes while we podcast. I literally have an e-cigarette and like 10 cartridges, and the only time I smoke it is during the podcast.
I'm actually considering investing in one now that you mention it.
Can I ask you this, though? And I feel like this is a valid question. I feel like...
Are you wearing pants?
I'm glad you decided to ask a valid question. He's like, I'm going to ask this, and I feel like it's a valid question. It's like, I kind of figured that when you decided to ask it, but proceed.
Okay.
What percentage of our audience do you think smokes?
Of our audience?
Yeah.
Cigarettes?
50%. Well, I mean, I realize that there's no percentage of zero, but right. Let's say we had right. An audience.
After
just
this
kidding.
Episode.
Thank you to Big Slop, Hickey.
You're saying those are the two people who listen to the show?
Both
Jimmy B, obviously.
Jimmy
listens.
B.
My homeboy Omar listens.
My homie Ron today, he sent me an email, very complimentary. I'm going to have to forward it to the two of you. The
thank
one
you.
Thing he did go out of his way to say was this
Steve
really
is a
sound.
Good freestyler.
Well, he wouldn't know because he hasn't reposted an episode yet, but he'll get it. But right. He did say this sounds really good, which is a testament to you two.
Word up.
And me.
And you.
Mostly.
And your voice.
It's mostly the voice. I thought when I talked to Santi, he had been listening.
What? Santi? Yeah, there's Santi.
Oh, really?
Roll call. I told y'all it's roll call. Damn. Wait, I was at... So what percentage... I know Santi doesn't smoke. Ron doesn't smoke. Yeah. Hickey smokes. Dude
Hickey
smokes. Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
What percentage do you think smokes?
I think 50 is safe. It's probably closer to like 35, but somewhere in that range.
Shit ain't popping anymore, B.
Well, so my question being, and I'm sure and people can answer this on Twitter or Facebook, you're just ingesting nicotine, right? I mean, cigarettes aren't good for you, but the vaporizer, all it is nicotine, right?
Yes.
There has to be some combustion, right? Oh, it's vape. It's not. Okay, I gotcha.
So what is, Chuck, like, so at what, let's say, I remember when we would hang out, we'd be drinking, we'd probably split a pack of cigarettes. I feel like that's something dudes don't usually do.
They do.
It's split your boy half a pack.
Half pack. It's your man half pack. Let's say, so we would have like 10 each in a night, right?
Sure.
In order to satisfy that same like level of intake of cigarettes, how much of the vape do you have to hit? And do you notice any kind of, because nicotine will fuck you up, man.
Yeah.
Oh, electronic cigarette is about, I mean, you can get varying intensities of nicotine, but it's pretty similar to a regular cigarette. The wild card is that you never light it and you never put it out. And the ones I get, each one represents a pack of cigarettes.
God damn. Next time you come over here, don't show up without an electronic cigarette, man.
Steve, would you like to go out for lunch and have some electronic cigarettes and broken tibula salad?
Yo, broken tibula salad.
What's that from?
No.
You don't remember that?
That
Steve,
was from
when the dude broke his leg in the Indiana game. Remember in the March Madness like 2 years ago? Louisville.
Ware?
Louisville.
Oh, Louisville. Yeah.
Kevin Ware?
Yeah.
Yeah. You were watching it?
No.
I remember the next day, Chuck was like, do you want to go to lunch or something?
Okay, I got it. I get it.
I asked him on email if he wanted to go to lunch. It was when we were working at the same place, and he was like, yeah, I'm down if we're going for electronic cigarette sessions and broken tibula salads.
Oh, boy.
Which to me was always like the weirdest image because I just pictured it getting tossed in a balsamic, just like chopped up bone.
Oh.
I don't know. Is it medium wear?
Medium wear.
Wow. Did you guys watch that when it happened? Did you keep watching it or like looking
for
images?
No, I turned away,
shit?
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude, I remember I was at a bar, and they didn't... Actually, it was like more of a restaurant, but I was eating at the bar, and it didn't have the audio on, and I wasn't really paying that much attention, and you could just see. It was like they had shown the clip of the plane getting shot down today over Ukraine.
Yo, I didn't see that. I did not see that.
I don't think the clip exists, but you could just see, like, off in the distance, I was like, oh, my God, those people are horrified. These people are horrified. And then I looked up at the screen, and I was like, I get it.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was crazy? I remember watching because they were playing, I think, Duke. Dude drains a three, and he's running back like his face is pretty expressionless. And then he makes his face like he's like, yo, like almost like somebody was talking shit to him. And I was like, yo, like what's that about? And he was grimacing at seeing fucking Kevin Ware on the ground. It's crazy. I avoided it for a long time. And then I don't even remember what the hell I was Google imaging.
It'll show up.
Probably porn. But I don't remember. Like it was like in the middle of something, like in like a list of like 30 pictures.
Two girls, one cast.
I get off on broken legs. What can I say? Will you sign my cast? No, but I'll fuck it.
I think he was Googling double jointed porn.
Don't, interesting.
Something.
That's got to be out there.
Of all the things, too, that I was just like I'd go to my chiropractor, and this fool would be like, I'm going to show it, like, while you, like, are laying, like, on your stomach, when I crack your back, you're going to turn around, I'm going to hold up a picture. I'm like, I'll punch you in the dick. Yeah. I don't want to fucking see that.
Right.
It was bad. I'm on my stomach at the chiropractor.
Yeah.
And like, I'll do this with everybody, right?
Like, okay, sure. Let's take that back. Let's take that whole imagery back. He goes, I'm on my stomach.
Right.
And he's like, I'll punch you in the dick. Right?
Well, no, he's like, when you turn around.
Right.
So I'll have
so
time.
When you turn around from the chiropractor, you're going to punch him in the dick?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You're saying I'm too close? I'm too close to the
I'm
dick.
I'm saying... Those are three things that...
And the whole time, the chiropractor is like, roll over.
Yeah.
Roll
Why?
Over.
Why every time you come here do you get roll lay down on your stomach and get near my over. Dick? I told you to fucking just stand up.
I thought this is what you do.
Guys, let's talk about something.
Okay,
else.
Let's talk about something. Cold policy. There is a new book coming out.
When'd you learn how to read?
I'm still working on it, but it's called Check the Technique Part 2.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay. It's written by Brian Coleman.
Is it part two?
It's part two. So if you go to part one, it's a fucking incredible book. And it does a chapter on classic hip hop albums where he interviews the groups about the making of these albums.
Wow.
Like Beastie Boys, Paul's Boutique was in part one. Eric B and Rakim, Paid in Full. I think they had Tribe Called Quest, either Low End Theory or Midnight Marauders.
Did you say Check Your Head? The Check Your Head part's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, Check Your Head. Did they do Paul's Boutique and Check Your Head?
I think it's just Check Your Head.
Okay, it's just Check Your Head. So anyways, if you don't have this book, it's written by Brian Coleman. It's called Check the Technique. He also did a limited pressing of a book called Rakim Told Me. And everything in Check the Technique Part 1 is in Rakim Told Me, but it's just a shortened version. So now he's coming out with Part 2. And Part 2, they released a snippet. And it's the it's a breakdown of Gravedigger's 6 Feet Deep album. Right?
Wow.
Isn't that what it's called? Yeah.
Yeah, 6 Feet Deep. Well, is that the first one? Yeah, that's the first one. And then the second
that's
one.
That's the first
is
one.
The,
it's like Prince
Sickle
Paul, RZA, Fruquan, and Poetic. Yeah. So that's on Nah. I think it's on Nah Right or Ego Trip right now. So I would check that shit out.
Okay.
If you guys are into that album. And I didn't realize that project was completed like slightly before at the same time as the first Wu-Tang album. So like the RZA being called the RZA was actually being done at the same fucking time on the Gravediggers album as it was. Because, you know, before that he was Prince Rakim.
Right.
Okay. So I got a song here. And this, I don't know if you guys have heard this. I have an unreleased song from that album.
Nice.
Well, it's been released, but it was on some comp of kind of rare songs. So I wanted to drop that.
Fabricated segue.
Damn, he just fabricated it so hard. So this is a track called Pass the Shovel. All right, by the Gravediggers. So let's peep this out real quick, all right?
I like that RZA did Pass the Bone with the Jizza, and then here it was Pass the
and
Shovel.
And he was like pass the shovel.
Look out for my man on Different Styles. His single's going to be called Pass the Broken Tibia.
All right, Chrome Bills, 52.
52.
My reputation is known for bloody objects. The gatekeep prevails. I'm harder as the lyrics on the Holy Grail. Pick up your skull and blow off the feathers. Yo, I'm on a Viking hike for buried treasure. The insane tearing remains out your brain. Stalk the whole range from the darkest plane. It is I'm a sign of equation coming at ya. Like an invasion of the one body snatchers. I'm in your dreams, your thoughts, yo. Everywhere you walk, when you speak, that's the grave digger talk. Your devil's approach, you get roast. Can't plant seeds on a grave with dead folks. From the darkest level of death, with the best to shovel and step. Check it, check it. Off on the bottomless pit. This is it. Undertaker make beasts and shit that sounds sick. Me, I be the man to disturb. Call a doctor. See
if they got the nerve to try to stop the crazy crucial booming. Sound that's inhuman. Scream when I sting that ass like Paul Newman. Somebody knock on wood.
Knock, knock, knock.
All boys in the hood.
Drop, drop, drop.
When I come through with the shovel, no puzzle. Then I'm out for trouble. Motherfucking trouble. So like Barney Rubble. Back to the gravel pit.
Smoke a fast cliff on the graveyard shift.
Walk with your head. Walk with your head.
Off.
I wanna go where the buffaloes roam. Chop off your head while I'm pumping on a bone. I got a stack, I'm never slacking in my mackin'. Styles go back to the days of Bob Backlund. Catch him in the suplex. Oh no, who's next to get wrecked? Pass the shovel and step.
How y'all feel out there?
Take you away and forget it. Unless you John Wayne or somebody can kick Death's ass.
Grave digger right, so enforce the night. Foes are froze like tears and bright nights. I maintain my range for a body gone frame. Niggas are running like Eagle Park Twain. Grim Reaper's deep as the Loch Ness. Whenever I'm seen rocking teams, queens drop their jeans. I stomp tools to reign over the clump like monsoons with the lyrical force of the boom. Doom is quick, cause when the god attacks, 90 years later.
They got my crew ripping up the charts, cause I come ferociously. The one is close to me. I bag bitches like a bag of the grocery. Now get binoculars so you can clock the popular hip hop phantom of the opera. Now shall I say Figaro, Figaro? The next thing you know, I got a pocket full of dough. Yo, and what did you expect? Chopping mad next. Pass the shovel and step.
Okay.
Grave Digger.
And that's an unreleased Grave Digger song, correct?
Unreleased, yeah. Oh,
so you can tell your friends you heard it here first.
I'm Chrome
say it.
Billions.
I don't like RZA on the mic. I have to get that out there. I never have. I don't think I've ever really talked about it.
Yeah.
I just never have liked him.
Do you feel like you've gotten a weight off your shoulders?
I feel better now.
I do too.
You know, I can live with this.
I don't like you got on the mic sometimes.
Okay. Okay.
That's as much as I'll commit to that.
Who's a dude? I mean, besides, you know, like I feel like Chuck, you could say Praz, like we'd all feel like that. Who's a dude that you think some people think is dope and you just can't stand?
Oh.
I mean, if we're not leaving Wu-Tang, I would go with Master Killer. I've never really understood how like he's officially in the group and someone like Capadonna isn't. It was just always weird to me.
Okay.
I kind of like Master Killer.
You know, I mean, that's what this
he's
is
like
about.
He's a little bit offbeat, you know. I don't mind it.
I will say, I definitely don't have the venom against RZA that both of you guys do. And I think that he's a lot more tolerable on the Gravediggers album because the best RZA stuff is when it's super all up in your face. As
right.
opposed to, if you catch him kind of in between whether he's supposed to be mellow or not, you get like the Triumph verse. And I think it's pretty clear he has the worst verse on Triumph. To me, at least.
Yeah.
Perpendicular to the square.
A word, you got the worst verse. I'm about to rehearse with a nurse. I make it worse. I put rappers in a hearse. Could I say anything more obligatory? Is it a story? Could you bore me? You're like Frank Gore, G. Cause you're always running back to where you came from. I gotta blame one rapper, blame another rapper. Come up in your crib, then I gotta dap ya. You thought I was gonna say slap ya, but I'm not a tough guy, and no, I'm not an actor. I got a lot of short and curlies.
What?
While you're always sporting Hurley t-shirts.
Oh.
I can see it on your chest.
Whoa.
Pass it off to K Chromosome, get fresh.
Yes, more to the rock ya. I'm not an imposter. But I don't think you've ever played fantasy football if you ain't had Frank Gore on your roster.
Woo.
I say it like a roster. Or maybe Tony Gonzalez. I heard he's going to NBC next year to call some games. I'm calling out names real quick like SpaghettiOs with a steady flow. Yo, you never know. Let it be known, it's the K to the chrome. When I like a candy bar, it'll be Toblerone. I took that from a man, open mic to the eagle. Fly like an eagle, walk like a beagle. Take a beagle on a walk. Might see me smiling while I talk and I bop. Got my headphones to the max level. To the maximum, show me an MC and I can flatten them. To ask for some and to get it quick, get liquidated when I say it and spray it. Wish you a birthday 7 days later, call it belated. You don't hate it, you appreciate it. That's just the way that we make it and spit it through. Pepper Johnson, Chrome Bills 52.
This is true. I'll never come in your crib, I'm dissing you. But listen, wow, I name all the members of different styles. I take chances, then I do an interview with my friend Sage Francis. Take off your pants, kids. Go buy some ice cream.
Whoa.
I know. Tell you, we were talking about, you know, I'm taking somebody to the prom.
Time out. Time out.
It's like, shake off.
I'm buying you some candy, little kid. Is that a bib? I think it's sexy.
Hey, yo.
Hey,
yo, freak. Cole, you gonna freak you out? I only said that shit to freak you now. Little kids, keep your pants on. Little kids, that should have been the new hip-hop anthem. Yeah. Throw your hands if you haven't had sex yet. Throw your hands if you never make death threats. I'm your best bet. I let my rest sweat or sweat rest on the outside, so it's not getting dim inside. Then you been sly, tried to hide, but you couldn't take over with the pride. Then I start to glide, I fly your head if this was the mid-90s. You couldn't find me because I'm not scalping. You're like Jim Halpern, working the same bullshit job for over a decade, not thinking let's get paid. Even if you married Pam, I think that Dunder Mifflin was a scam.
Woo.
Do you understand? They were sending spam. K chromosome, what was their plan?
It was a nice breakdown to take of the office. Alleviate you. I think they were sitting in a warehouse selling reams of paper. And what I speak is real. Just want to say RIP to Patrice O'Neal. You'll believe in one connection when I tell you he was in season one of The Office. You got to check it. There's only 6 episodes. He said he left because taping an episode was hella slow. And he's like, damn, I left hella dough. And that's the truth, because they gave the job to that other dude who played the saxophone. When I ain't with you guys, I rap alone. Craig Robinson, get the name right. We on the same mic. It's me and C's. We're splitting a pack of cigarettes. I'll take 10, you take 10. I'm going home on my 10-speed, and it's a 2-seater. Like when I was at Scribble Jam and I beat Deuce Leader. Pretty bad,
word.
But they jerked me chill. Yo, that shit is so for real. There used to be an R&B group called So For Real. But now Cole's turning boys to men.
Wow. End it there.
That was amazing.
End it there.
Holy shit. I need to be quiet, though.
End it there.
I'm screaming over here.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing.
Tell me a highlight of your podcast. Chuck once compared me, my rap style, to pedophilia. So... That was a good moment.
Changing boys to men.
Mm-hmm. There is a cool Keith line where he's like, I'm changing boys to men. Checking my style, return to zero.
Yeah, checking my style.
Chuck, man, you got me. But
I don't know, man. He's like, I'm just waiting.
I feel like, you know, at this point in life,
yeah.
What naturally occurring thing on a human body signifies more that you're probably something than like a dude that has a mustache. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's very few people men that I know that have mustaches where I'm like,
right.
I pretty much trust you.
Like, you can babysit for my kids.
Or I was like, yo, like if the end of the world was coming, I don't think you would try to eat me with your bare hands within 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But like with a dude with a mustache, I'm like, there's just something, you're going in a weird place.
That's a weird
upstairs.
Place.
Upstairs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you know anybody that has a mustache?
I've never liked that Movember thing. You know the Movember where people like won't shave their mustache? Like, in the name of what again?
You know, that's a really, in the same way that a really pretty girl is polarizing to all women, some women are like, I hate her. Some people are like, I love her. I feel like beard or mustaches are really polarizing to women. Some women I know fucking love Movember, and then others would be like, oh, hope you don't do that
shit.
I don't
trust a girl who likes Movember.
You trust a girl with a mustache. And a nutsack.
A mustache and a nutsack.
I got a mustache and a nutsack. What's that?
I think there was another Boyz II Men song about that.
Wow. But you know what I mean? Yeah. Although your dad didn't have a mustache, right?
No.
And you did fine.
I don't like
Chuck,
where you're
same
going
thing
with
you. Your dad didn't have a mustache. I'm trying to think.
No, he did not.
My dad didn't.
I don't know. Magnum PI? Like, are you trying to find nice people with mustaches
yeah,
now?
Yeah, literally.
Please, if you're on Twitter or Facebook, please drop us some nice people with mustaches.
Like, let me ask you this.
We'd like to know.
Friend of the show. And like, I feel like Petey Steele should start making fun of us during his set.
Yeah.
I feel like if he walked in here with a mustache,
right,
you'd be thrown for a loop.
I would be.
Did we ever get
comfortable down here alone with them?
Did we ever get confirmation on how it went from Petey Sugg to Petey Steele?
No, I have no idea.
And we had Pete on on two episodes of Chrome Bills, but only one was actually posted, right? Only one was actually recorded. Who are
you? Yeah, I think he was on 33.
Are half men with mustaches drinking summer shandy weird?
Yeah, if a guy comes up to you and says, would you like a shandy? And he's got a mustache.
And then he licks his mustache.
Right.
And he's got glasses.
And he's vaporizing.
What if he has a mustache? I like that he's vaping. And just the tips. He has like the frosted tips that are blonde.
Yeah.
Just the last quarter inch.
You know, honestly, though, I feel like a lot of times a guy with a mustache, and this is a guarantee if he's got glasses.
He's drinking a glass of milk.
Well, there's that.
Okay.
But his hair's parted.
Yeah.
Either down the middle, going left, going right. Like, I'm thinking of the dude from Napoleon Dynamite, but name me one dude with a mustache and glasses whose hair isn't parted.
Oh.
You can't.
Yo, I read this. This is kind of, it's on topic, but it's slightly off topic.
Okay.
As you guys know, I'm going through a hair identity crisis right now.
I noticed you
had a hat on tonight.
This is like the beautiful woman who's like, my butt looks big.
All right, so
you have nothing to complain about with your hair.
But listen, I've been experimenting. I changed my parts. I changed my part yesterday.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
From right to left. And I read a fucking article, and it's an article called the Hair Part Theory. And I would encourage you guys to look it up.
Okay.
Apparently, there was a study done about what side a guy parts his hair on, right? There's like historical data that has certain traits associated with guys who part their hair on the right side versus the left side.
We got to post a link to that on the SoundCloud page.
I'm gonna pull it while we're sitting here too. You guys just
the hair part.
But there. I
think it's got to be total bullshit. But it was interesting.
Oh, definitely auto-completes.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Uh-huh. Now, are the listeners to Chrome, but the Chrome billionaires out
right.
there, they don't have the great fortune that Chuck and I do, which is to see you once a week in all your glory. Yeah. It's like I ask, am I sitting across from a lion?
Right.
Because that's more mane than hair.
It is more mane than hair.
But yes. It doesn't seem like you part it. It seems like you just put gel and like spike it up. Do you do it differently during the
day? It's pushed this way. Like right now, it's pushed that way.
Okay.
Left to right.
The way your hair looks
last
now.
Last week, it was right to left.
The way your hair looks now is how it looks during the day at work.
Yeah, because I just had a hat on, but yeah, for the most part.
I can't even tell that it's parted. Oh, you know what? Now I see what you mean.
It's going this way.
Do you mean like your hair is just going in
like
one direction
wave,
or the
way?
Okay,
direction.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So, Chuck, you're in there?
I'm in there. It's interesting how it says it's like drawing attention to whether it's your left half or right half of your brain is like the dominant. What you want to be selling, and it even goes into, I forget that women can really part their hair,
dude. And
so
it's
like a woman who parts her hair on the left and who is would be striving for a positive assessment in a traditionally male role.
I take it in the butt.
Yo, I'm telling you, but this morning, like, this is the first day that I've changed the direction of my hair. Right?
Did you get a raise?
No, I didn't get a raise. However, like three people mentioned, they were like came up to me and specifically mentioned my hair, whereas I had it parted on the other side for like the past 2 months and nobody said anything to me.
What was the age range of these people?
They were 20 to 30.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was all over the place.
Our demographic.
Okay.
Get that sponsorship money. But we're like, now that I part my hair to the left, do you listen to Chrome Bills?
It was weird. I just came up with an idea.
What do you got?
Anytime someone mentions, you should keep copies of the show in your hair.
In my hair.
So when someone says your hair looks amazing, just pull out a CD and hand it to them.
Word up.
It's this Chrome Bills styling gel that I've been using.
it's 10 o'clock. I need to go to bed.
Okay.
So
son of a bitch.
Let's play B. Dolan Part 2. Yeah.
B. Dolan Part 2. Thank you for everybody for listening.
Definitely.
We got Sage Francis coming up next week.
It's huge. We're going to be plugging this all over the place. Yeah, that didn't sound right. We're going to be promoting this.
Right. Yo, we're going to be ramping up to it.
It's a good interview, man, by the way. You did a great job.
You know, I'll be honest. I've said this before. I think that my music's not always for everybody. I think this podcast is.
Yeah.
I think that that fit right in. I enjoy doing it, man.
Yeah, it was fun.
Knowing I got two fun guys to hang out with. We were talking about this off air too, Chuck. We when you're down here, or because another thing, when so you're coming in a couple weeks, that's always like a lot going on. Like when you come home, we should do a podcast where we have like a guest in here where it's all three of us interacting, because I enjoy asking the questions. I got a couple questions from you guys and made sure to shoehorn those in there.
Right.
But I feel like you guys have such a different, unique angle. Basically, you're not insane like I am. So having you guys here to ask the questions too would be awesome.
I mean, that's fine. But Chuck, I don't know if you want to just do the three of us or whatever.
I don't think it's such a double-edged sword.
Yeah, it's such a double-edged sword because I haven't been down there for an episode since, like, what did we say, episode 12. So we're talking...
Yeah, it's been a long fucking
that's
time.
That's 40 episodes.
40 episodes.
Holy shit!
Over a year, calendar year. It's actually pretty impressive that we have 40 episodes in what amounts to about 56 weeks or something like that. Because I moved up here in June of last summer.
I would say that's consistency.
I don't know. Sometimes I think we need to be more consistent.
Listen, I don't give a fuck. Is it Monday or Wednesday? I shouldn't be here. You know, I will say this. I did get feedback on that episode, too. Ron actually said, he's like, it was good to hear that aspect of your guys' personalities.
Uh-huh.
Because it's more real. Whereas he actually pointed out a show that all three of us have heard. He's like, I feel like they're just caricatures of themselves now.
Uh-huh.
You know, whereas we sort of pull back the curtain a little bit.
Right.
I don't want the audience members coming on the stage and then coming behind the curtain.
The flesh curtain.
Lean. You keep away from my flesh curtains. I don't care how nice your mustache is.
No, I agree, though. I almost wanted to like start some beef over something today just so we could hash it out at the beginning of the show. I'd be like, why can't I be on the Sage interview?
True.
Hey.
I wasn't on the Sage interview either.
Yeah. No, I'm being sarcastic.
So don't worry about it.
That's totally my new move. Like, guys, I got us. We're going to get an interview with Jesus. Like, oh, here's a question. I'm like, that's cool. But I'm the only one that can talk to him.
But it's got
to
be just me. Like, that's fine. We all have roles. Cole can be our Chrome Bills correspondent.
Man Cole on the Ballsy. Scene.
Man on the scene. The street. No, but that would imply that you actually leave your house other than to do the podcast or play basketball.
And carry. Oh, that's, you know what? That's going to get to that point.
Yeah, it is.
Episode 295. I'm like, this week, Cousin Brucey.
Cousin
Next week, I'll be talking to Shun. Tune in. You guys are like, yo, we got
to
get rid of
this. We need to get
dude.
Shun on this show.
That joke is funny to maybe two people that'll ever hear this.
Does Shun like hip hop? Do we know that?
I'm not sure that. I'm not sure what Shun likes.
I want to know what Shun likes.
We'll battle the different scenarios where you pick. Ray over Ray.
Oh my God.
Over Brett.
Yo, did I ever tell you that I was like driving on Twin Brook Parkway and I just saw Shun like standing?
No.
Yeah.
How did you know who Shun was? Did you? I guess you played at prep a couple times.
I'm insulted right now, Chuck.
You played for like an entire year.
Yeah, I played for like a whole year. I used to bust your ass, man.
You did. You were, because you do the one thing that I hate when someone's checking me, and that's you get physical. If I can get a step on somebody, I'm good, but you're like Pasha.
Yo, Shun.
But yo, so I forgot. So you, what yeah. was? Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What?
I think I honked at him.
Did he react?
No, he was. He had no reaction whatsoever.
Then that's what I mean. Like it wasn't just that you were honking at him.
Yeah.
It was a car on the street where he was walking that honked, and he didn't flinch.
He didn't flinch.
When you ask me what he was into, I don't know.
Yeah.
Where? Well, let me ask you this.
Twin Brook Parkway. Oh,
what
no,
month
Beers
of the year
Beers
was
Road.
It?
Oh, I don't fucking know.
Was he wearing shorts?
He's the only dude I know that needs a belt with his B-ball shorts. Seen the top,
well, I mean, like,
top 2 inches
like
of his backside more than I'd like to admit.
Yeah, man. I mean,
do yourself a favor. Go get some clothes to fit.
You know, as soon as I was like, yeah, Shun, we're going to interview him. I was like, an image of his butt crack popped in my head. You know what I mean? Like, I think of you, I think of hair, I think of Chuck, I think of, you know, like, just killing it on a freestyle.
Yeah.
Shun, I think of butt crack.
You think of a butt crack.
And
We should tell him to grow a mustache. That would really cipher complete.
See, actually, a Chinese mustache is a little bit different.
Okay,
it's not
true.
The same as a white guy mustache.
True.
I feel like we should have prefaced it as white guy mustaches.
White guy mustache. You know what? That's a fair point.
Right.
And I almost, after some of the other stuff I've said, I wanted to say something racist towards white people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I missed my chance.
That was it.
Here, I'm going to write that down.
There's a dance called the white man's overbite. I think we should invent a new dance.
The white man's mustache.
I've never heard of the white man's overbite.
Oh, are you serious?
Half men order summer shanties.
All right, fellas.
Can we hang out all night?
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm sad this one's ending.
Sorry.
It is late, though.
I need to wake up tomorrow at 6.
We post a nap. Get the freestyle.
Holla back.
Chrome Bills 52. Peace.
Cool, man. She holds it down at home, and I'm a lucky dude.
That's good.
Yeah.
One other thing I wanted to get to, because I feel like it's as incredible as your music is, I feel like nomore.org is just as incredible.
Thank you.
I did a little bit of reading back, because recently you posted something how the guy from American Apparel had said you were a hate monger or something like that.
Dove Charney. In I guess it was 2006, we were printing our merch on American Apparel because we had heard that it was a good company, it was made in the USA, and that it wasn't made under sweatshop conditions. And American Apparel had actually marketed themselves as being sweatshop free. And then, so we had printed up a run of shirts on them, and kids started picking them up at the merch table and be like, ah, man, American Apparel is not that good a company, you should look into them. And we'd started hearing things, so we did just kind of a quick, broad survey of, like, what was on the internet, which is kind of like the most basic kind of nomore.org page, where it's just like, these are the things that you'll find if you do a little digging, like just the first surface layer of digging about this company. So here's some bad things that people have said about it. Here's some good things that people have said about it. These are just the broad issues that people have raised. And I got a call from someone that wanted to talk to me about it. And when I Googled their phone number, I realized it was American Apparel's press agent. And so I talked to her on the phone, and she told me that Dove Charney, the CEO of American Apparel, had seen the page and was upset about it and wanted to talk to me on the phone. And so I was like, all right, but just so you know, like, I'm going to record the conversation, because if we're going down the road of you suing us, like, we're going to keep a record. So he's like, all right, you know, Dove's cool with that. You can record the conversation.
Right.
And when I talked to him on the phone, the dude was just like screaming at me, like so loud that the receiver was distorting. And this really wild guy that was just like screaming, like, you're an information terrorist, you're a dirty person, and, you know, like, you just ate the union's shit and all this stuff, because there were issues about, there were allegations of union busting, and there were allegations of him sexually harassing employees, and there were also had been objections raised by feminists and people concerned about their advertising and the fact that it kind of had this, like, child porn or amateur porn motif.
It's kind of a greasy-looking...
Yeah. But at the end of that conversation, as I kind of, like, held my own and we went back and forth, his point was, like, you're just some dumb kid from New England that doesn't know shit and has a website, and I challenge you to be a real journalist and come down here and audit my factory. I'll give you complete access to all my workers. You can talk to them. You can, you know, really do this. And I had to accept that challenge if I was going to present myself as a journalist. So I ended up spending, like, all of 2006 researching that company and producing, like, this 78-page report. We flew out to L.A. We did...
Well, hold on. Before... So, in the interest of getting the time frame together, you started nomore.org when?
2005.
Okay. And so, by 2006, this was all transpiring.
Yeah, this was all happening in 2006. And then...
So you flew to L.A.
So I flew to L.A., we did that, we toured the factory, interviewed the factory, toured employees, and then went home, did more work, where we, their ad department compiled a book for us of like 300 of their ads, and we sent that book out to feminist scholars and asked them to do like a critical analysis of their ads and stuff, and... you know, that the ads were kind of the hardest part, because it gets very subjective, and American Apparel, for example, was claiming that, like, these pictures are taken of our employees by our employees,
right,
and we are a sexually liberated women, and these are, this is just what's sexy to us. And then you had, like, feminist scholars on the other side of it being like, this is the same thing Calvin Klein was doing where, with the child porn, like, motif. This is not edgy. This is not anything. This is just the same old shit. But then there was other stuff where there was a dispute with the union, and the union itself had a terrible history. The union that they were fighting with, which was Unite, had a checkered history themselves where, like, you know, because unions in America have unfortunately, a long history of corruption and, you know, mob shakedown shit. People that never met their union rep but just had, like, dues collected. And,
right.
You know, like, I think a 14-year-old girl was found dead in New York City, and they researched where she had been in the days prior to her death, and they found out she'd been working at a union shop. So, like, you know, the union's hands aren't totally clean either.
Right.
And then American Apparel was also doing some really positive, progressive stuff for their employees. They were active in immigrants' rights. They openly employed undocumented workers and paid them more than the industry average. They had a free healthcare clinic. They had a bicycle lending program. They had a masseuse come in because repetitive injury motion is like a big thing in the garment industry. So workers could get massaged. You know, like they took.
So it wasn't just cosmetic stuff.
Yeah, they were genuinely doing really cool, positive stuff. And maybe the coolest thing they were doing was the fact that they were what they called vertical integration, which is that, like, instead of a big supply chain, everything from ads to the actual assembly of the garment happened in one factory, and that allowed them to make really quick changes and to stay ahead of their competitors in terms of fashion. But it also allowed them to ensure that everyone in this factory was being treated fairly. So if you look at other garment companies, it's like your sleeve is assembled in Thailand, then shipped to China in another factory where it's sewn onto, you know, like, and so it's such a huge supply chain that you can't, it's really hard to say any garment period is fair trade, like you would coffee.
Right.
Because coffee is like a 4-step process, and a t-shirt is like a 20-step process.
Right.
So, you know, like, they were doing great stuff, but the CEO was like this dude that was on this, like, very paternal, like, no one's gonna come between me and my workers. I don't need a union to tell me what to do with my workers. I take care of them.
Right.
And was also on some, like, weird Larry Flint running around in his underwear, like, encouraging workers to have sex and, the, you know, like, like, yeah, offering.
In front of you after he'd invited you?
No, he didn't do this in front of me, but, like, we uncovered video of him running around in the factory in his underwear and, you know, like, all under the guise of, like, well, you know, it's, we make underwear. I have to model the underwear, you know.
Right.
And so it was a complicated story, and in the course of researching it, the press agent who I was assigned to when we were out there took us out to lunch and was really, like, trying to charm us. And while we're out at that lunch, you know, all of a sudden, like, all this stuff is slipping of, like, you know, she's saying, like, off the record, you know, between me and you, this chick was sleeping with everybody in the office. She's crazy about someone that was alleging sexual harassment.
Right.
And they she did, you know, quote unquote, off the record, defame her to me and try and discredit her. And that ended in me testifying against Dov Charney. I was deposed to testify.
Are you serious?
In that suit against him.
I didn't know it went that far. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Because of that stuff. Because they found out that the press agent had been doing this and did it to me.
Now, do you think he's just a Looney Tune and was just given too much or accumulated too much power? Or
yeah,
do you think he's a bad dude?
I mean, I don't judge his character. I just think it's that you can't run a company that way.
Yeah.
And that, you know, like, maybe he's a great guy. Maybe, you know, but I personally, I think he was definitely an egomaniac. And unfortunately, he was also a visionary in terms of the garment industry.
Right.
But, you know.
So I can hear Sage checking. Yeah. I don't want to hold you up because I know you probably got to get up there.
Yeah, man.
Do you? But hey, tell the people where they can check out your stuff.
Strangefamous.com. The latest album is House of Bees Volume 2, which is available on Bandcamp, and the last album is Fallen House Sunken City on iTunes. It's time to go soundcheck. We're on tour for the next couple days. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. And there's one other thing I wanted to get to. You throw a monthly event up in Providence called Church of Providence.
Yeah.
I got the opportunity to play it. Not many people are awesome enough to do what you do. So thank you very much.
Thank
Be
you,
Dolan.
Brother.
Be Dolan. Thank you.